the supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day He appointed for a rising. To Thee belongs praise, for Thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst Thou willed, Thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to Thee belongs praise, for Thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate Thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for Thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to Thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure, and provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to Thee, to be joyful in worshipping Thee, to be desirous of Thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me Thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom Thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear friend, dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic that we're going to speak about is how can I talk to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala.
Salamu Alaikum.
Today, Tuesday, is the 8th of Jamadi Uthani, 1443, of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of day, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of January, 2022, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. as we used to in today's special, we open the Holy Quran for recitation of a verse from a great chapter. For today, we choose chapter Talaq, verse 3.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا.
And will provide for him from where he does not expect. And whoever relies upon Allah, then he is sufficient for him. Indeed, Allah will accomplish His purpose. Allah has already set for everything a decreed extent.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse is saying that Allah will provide him from sources that he could have never imagined. And whosoever puts his trust in Allah, he will suffice him, since Allah will accomplish his purpose and he, Allah, has set a measure for all things. Thus male and female witnesses are warned against entertaining fear of problems resulting from treading the path of truth, but they are enjoined to administer justice and invoke Allah for removing the impediment, since he guarantees that whoever puts his trust in him, he will be delivered from entanglements. The significance of communication with Allah. In this part of today's special, it is incumbent on each and every Muslim to comprehend the meaning of communication with Allah as means of connection between people and their Creator and Master, and as the process of conveying intended meanings and messages from one side to the other through the use of prescribed ways and means. While performing all other religious injunctions and while scorning the possibility of committing sins, both minor and major, as much as possible, a person should know that he answers Allah's divine calls that target directly him and his consciousness. Such a realization lies at the center of the concept of niyyah. What is niyyah? The intention in one's heart to do an act for the sake of Allah alone, which in turn is a prerequisite for acceptance of religious acts. Prophet Muhammad is reported to have said that the reward of deeds depends upon the intentions, and every person will get the reward according to what he has intended. Sheikh Azhar Nasser.
The Quran is healing us from the disease of heedlessness. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا. You know, sometimes we think that when we do evil, when we are disconnected from Allah, we will be punished later. But the reality is that you're living in hell now, but you don't even realize. Ya man ismuhu dawa, Amir al-Mu'mineen says in Dua Kumail, Ya man ismuhu dawa, wa dhikruhu shifa. Oh, whose names is medicine, But it's not enough to just read a prescription or read the label of the medicine. You have to take the medicine. And you, when you remember Allah, it's not just that you remember God. What you want to do is you want to be a reflection of Him. Allah is merciful, you become merciful. Allah is forgiving, you're forgiving. Allah is the knowledgeable, the knowing, you gain knowledge. You become a reflection of Him. So, one of the most important manifestations of Allah's rahmah is guidance. Allah calls the Tawrat rahmah. Injil is rahmah. Quran is rahmah. It's a mercy of Allah. And if you read it and you practice it and you make it real and you draw practical lessons from it, your life will be filled with mercy. You will be merciful. There will be mercy and love in your families. There will be mercy, love, harmony, empathy in our communities. Quran is a source of rahmah.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Ways to get closer to Allah at home. Today's suggestion, salawat. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family, said, "Whoever sent salah, prayer and blessings upon me and my Ahlul Bayt once, Allah will send blessings upon him tenfold." There are so many benefits for sending prayers upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad and his Ahlul Bayt. It is also one of the most encouraged ways for us to express our love towards him. One of the ways to send prayers to the Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt is to recite, "O Allah, send blessings upon Muhammad and upon the family of Muhammad as you send blessings upon Ibrahim and upon the family of Ibrahim. Indeed, you are praiseworthy and glorious. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you blessed Ibrahim, the Prophet, and the family of the Abraham. Indeed, you are praiseworthy and glorious."
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, la ilaha illallah.
Almighty Allah, as the Creator, communicates with His creation. Everyone is initially free of any false beliefs and will always enjoy a disposition towards goodness and sound beliefs, regardless of his adopted behavioral patterns, while at the same time innately disliking evil, deceit, and falsehood. Just like any other communication type, this type of communication likewise out to be a 20-way process in order that it remains productive, meaningful, and strong insofar as man, the recipient of Allah's communicated word and message, is concerned. Thus, Allah afforded a number of opportunities to reciprocate both His direct and indirect communication initiatives. Man is asked to pray five times a day, supplicate, remember, praise, glorify, and sign praises to him at certain appointed and recommended times, or whenever and wherever he feels disposed to do so.
Allah, because he knows us, he never sends a book without a teacher. Has Allah ever sent a book, a scripture, without a teacher? Did the Torah fall from the sky, or was the Torah revealed to Musa? Did the Injil fall from the heavens on the earth in the form of a book, or was it revealed to Isa? Allah never sends a scripture without someone who is the embodiment of those teachings. Because Allah knows that human beings need a living example. We need to see these teachings in action. In fact, we are so influenced by role models that Allah sent more prophets and messengers than books. Allah never sends a scripture without a prophet. But Allah, sometimes, he sends prophets and messengers without scriptures. Because what is most important is what? To have the living example. And we are very fortunate, brothers and sisters, to have role models like the Ahlul Bayt. I'm telling you, that we have someone like the Prophet, who is rahmatan lil alameen. Do you know, brothers and sisters,
that was all for today's special, inshallah. We continue this nice topic on the next episode of today's special. Follow us at parstoday.com/en, today's special. Our topic was about how can we talk to Allah.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and further away. Every breath I take. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and today we present you a famous statement by Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, on the merits of his daughter, the noblest lady of all times, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. The statement reads, Fatima is a part of me. Whoever hurts her has hurt me, and whoever hurts me displeases God.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Keeping with our discussion on causality, and that within this material world, there are obviously those type of causalities that may not necessarily be material. We may call them metaphysical causality, but the concept of causality remains, as we saw in the hadith that we mentioned yesterday. And in this one, we see it in a very great and a very absolute and general manner, in that staying away from certain things, as we mentioned previously, will enable a person to perform other things. And in this tradition from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, we can clearly see that. But the Imam says that when a person refrains from performing vices or sayyi'at. So the refraining from performing vices, sins, gunah, whatever, doing acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person refrains from this, it is better, right? It is better for him than actually performing and attaining and doing good things. So we see that there's a relationship here, that the performing, or rather the refraining from those evil things, will actually enable a person to attain higher levels of performing good. It creates that wanting. Why? Because when a person performs a good deed, obviously that soul is gaining perfection. Obviously, there are many different things regarding the niyyah, the intention, and so on and so forth. An evil deed aims to destroy it. The evil deed will destroy that good deed that has been done, or remove the effects from it. But if there's no evil deeds, the person will be able to then go higher. It's even better for him. Why? Because naturally, the person who is not doing anything bad, he will naturally go to that which is good. And will continue to perform that. So just the mere refrainment from the vices, from the sayyat, will make a person turn and attain the hasanat. This is what one of the possible explanations of this tradition is. And it's even the tradition is clearly saying that it is better for you to do it, it's better for you to refrain from the sayyat than it is for you to attain or go after the good deeds. Just refrain from this, the good deeds will come to you by themselves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to stay away from the bad, inshallah, the sayyat, and to go and attain and perform and enact that which is good and which are of the hasanat, inshallah. Until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all of the dear listeners of this program, and thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. First, we are going to talk about a famous Quran reciter. Then, we are going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. So please stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Mahmoud Ramadan. He was an Egyptian reciter who was a great master not only on maqam chord, as some might think, but also he was very skilled in using other maqamat such as Nahawand, Ajam, Jiharka, Hijaz, and Saba. Mahmoud Ramadan was the follower of the style of Sheikh Ali Mahmoud, who used maqam chord very much in his recitations. Mahmoud Ramadan had a complete voice, that is, his voice had all three registers known as Qarar, lower register, Jawab, the intermediate register, and Jawabul Jawab, meaning the highest register. However, Mahmud Ramadan used mostly the intermediate register of his voice in most of his recitations. Another characteristic of Sheikh Mahmud Ramadan's voice is that his voice was powerful and full of sorrow. Mahmud Ramadan was also a close friend of Sheikh Muhammad Imran, who would go to his house for recitation of the Noble Quran. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 113 to 115 of Surah At-Tawbah, recited by Sheikh Mahmud Ramadan, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
I seek refuge with Allah from Satan, the outcast. In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. It is not proper for the Prophet and those who believe to ask Allah's forgiveness for the polytheists, even though they be relatives, after it has become clear to them that they are the dwellers of the fire. And Abraham's invoking for his father's forgiveness was only because of a promise he had made to him. But when it became clear to him that he was an enemy to Allah, he dissociated himself from him. Verily, Abraham used to invoke Allah with humility, glorify him and remember him much, and was forbearing. And Allah will never lead a people astray after he has guided them until he makes clear to them as to what they should avoid. Verily, Allah is the all-knower of everything.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما
كتاب الله
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah At-Tawbah, verses 113 to 115, recited by Sheikh Mahmoud Ramadan. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This was a very good and enjoyable recitation to listen to by Sheikh Mahmoud Ramadan. And he's reciting in a very high register. It's higher than his qarar,
which is the lower register.
Yes, qarar is the low register. And he is reciting probably three or four notes higher than his qarar, the qarar of his voice, because he has a very deep voice. And his qarar is very deep. And he has a very good jawab. These are all in jawab. We didn't hear qarar of his voice. It's similar to the way Abdul Basit recites the Quran. He usually recites higher than his qarar also. And that is why they can't finish the maqam completely, because each maqam has eight notes. And because the register is so high, they can only perform probably six notes of that maqam. They can't, because it's so high. It's like if they want to perform the two final notes, note seven and eight, they would have to, like, you know, recite with a very high pitch and high register, which is it's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
And Sheikh Mahmoud Ramadan, he begins with maqam Hijaz, okay? The first verse that he recites is in Maqam Hijaz. Verse 114, he modulates to Maqam Nahawand. Modulation means changing the Maqam from one Maqam to another. He changes to Maqam Nahawand until Iyyah. Okay? Then from there, Illa Mawidatin Wa'adaha Iyyah, he combines Maqam Nahawand with Maqam Kurd.
Mm-hmm.
It begins with Nahawand and it ends with kurd until the word, the phrase actually, عَدُوٌ فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌ لِلَّهِ تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُ. This part is in kurd. It begins with nahawand, but he finishes with kurd.
Kurd.
And the same, in the same degree, in the same note, he does not, you know, recite, perform kurd at a higher or lower note, in the same note as the nahawand.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, min, again he changes back to nahawand. This is very important, and this is extremely difficult to do, to change. And this is the principle of maqam. This is what you should do. If you combine a maqam with another maqam, you should return to the former maqam. This is a rule.
Before finishing your recitation.
Yeah. Not just before finishing your recitation. For example, finishing a verse. Mm-hmm. Okay. He goes back to Nahawand, Inna Ibrahim al-Awwahun Halim, and the last verse that he recites is also in Maqam Nahawand. Okay, Sheikh Mahmoud Ramadan has a very good tajweed, like most Egyptian reciters. He carefully observes the rules of tajweed, such as the Ghunna, Lin Nabi, the noon has tashdeed, and you have to apply ghunna for two vowel counts. And because he recites the Quran a little faster than other reciters, the ghunna is also going to be shorter in duration than those who recite with a slower pace.
That's right.
مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا. Here we have idgham of, before that I should say that he's doing qasr of maddul munfasil.
Yeah.
Okay, which means he does not lengthen the maddul munfasils, the disjunct mads, more than two vowel counts. He only lengthens them to two vowel counts.
That is such normal as lengthening.
Yes. The first one is amanu an. This is the first maddul munfasil. And he lengthens it to two vowel counts. Then we have idgham. We have idgham ma'al ghunna. The noon sakina is not pronounced, and the ya is pronounced with both tashdeed and ghunna. Of course, in the Uthman Taha codex or script, we don't have tashdeed above the ya or waw whenever idgham takes place into these two letters. This shows that you have to apply ghunna. Mm-hmm. Okay, he purposely didn't write the tashdeed.
This is there's to nothing indicate written above noon, I think.
Above the no, above the ya. There's no tashdeed ring.
Yes,
above
there's
the
no,
ya.
There's no tashdeed above ya, and there's nothing above noon.
Yeah, that's obviously yes, because idgham takes place.
And noon is not pronounced.
Yeah, the noon is not pronounced. The ya is pronounced with a ghunna.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma la ajidu lidhunubi ghafira wala liqabaihi satira wala li shay'in min amalil qabih bil hasani mubaddilan ghayrak la ilaha illa سبحانك وبحمدك ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي
Brothers and sisters, we concluded about this part of the Kumail supplication where Imam Ali alayhi salam says La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka wa bihamdik, there is no deity but you, glory be to you and yours is the praise, that the true monotheist is the one who believes in this word which is called tahleel, la ilaha illallah, or la ilaha illa ant, sincerely and wholeheartedly. Such a person will remove any other deity from his thoughts, from his lifestyle, from his practices in life, and this is the best place in the Kumail supplication that such a word can be uttered by the servant. Because Now the supplicant is aware of his destitution and his weakness and has confessed to his sins. And now he is aware that the Almighty Allah is his only way out of the problems. Now he confesses and says, La ilaha illa ant, there is no deity but you. Subhanaka wa bihamdik, glory be to you, and yours is the praise. So we were talking about the La ilaha illallah, which Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in this regard says, this is the cost of paradise. This sincere uttering of there is no deity but Allah, there is no deity but Allah, is the cost of paradise. In one of the traditions, it has been said that a man came to the fifth infallible Imam, Imam Baqir alayhi salam, and asked about the Prophet's tradition about the cost of paradise. Imam alayhi salam said, it is true, that man returned from the house of Imam Baqir alayhi salam, but then the Imam ordered him to return. Then he stated, there are some conditions for Tawheed, and I, who is the infallible Imam, selected by Allah, obeying whom is obligatory in every aspect for the servants, am among its conditions. So Imam introduces himself as the conditions of receiving the results, receiving the rewards of uttering, sincerely uttering these words, La ilaha illallah. However, the only way for human salvation is belief in Tawheed, Allah's unity, and its condition, of course. It has different conditions, which have been mentioned throughout our traditions.
Oh Allah, I beg, as one whose neediness is extreme, and who supplicates his knees to you, and whose desire for that which is with you has become great. O Allah, great is your kingdom, and exalted is your greatness. Your plan is secret, your authority is manifest, your might is victorious and subduing, and your power is prevalent throughout, and it is not possible to escape from your dominion. O Allah, apart from you, I do not find anyone able to pardon my sins, nor to conceal my shameful acts, nor do I have anyone except you to change my evil deeds into virtues. There is no God but you, glory and praise be to you. I have oppressed my own soul, I had the audacity to sin by my ignorance. I have relied upon my ancient remembrance of you and your grace towards me. O Allah, my Lord, how many of my ugly deeds have you concealed? How many of my grievous afflictions have you abolished? And how many stumblings of mine have you prevented? How many of my detestable acts have you averted? And how many of my undeserving praises have you spread abroad?
Thank you, Allah,
now that we're here,
feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
In other words, when a human knows Allah as the only deity who possesses and gives sustenance to everything and everyone in the world, and when the person confesses to it verbally accepting the prophethood of the prophets and the imamah of the infallible imams, as well as the Holy Quran, he has for sure resorted to the only key of salvation available on earth. This means he will now keep himself away from what the Almighty Allah has declared unlawful. After confessing to the unity of Allah, every good act of human would be accepted. And if he does something wicked, he would be forgiven after regret and repentance, of course. Without Tawheed, however, no good deed is accepted. Even the smallest sins are not forgiven if Tawheed is missing. In fact, this Tawheed, one of the reasons why this phrase has been mentioned in this part of the supplication, away from it being the best place, is that it is acting as one of the conditions of those previously mentioned graces of the Almighty Allah. If you want the Almighty Allah to forgive you, if you want the Almighty Allah to conceal your wicked acts, and if you want Him to transform your wicked acts into good ones, this is the condition. قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, sincerely uttering and sincerely practicing. If the believers in Allah's unity get subjected to chastisement in hereafter for wrongdoing, they will be saved for sure for the blessing of Tawheed. This is why we say, this is why the infallibles have said that the cost of price is La ilaha illallah. In this regard, dear listeners, we have many important traditions cited in authentic tradition books, and we will narrate some of them in the next program, God willing. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his perfect progeny. Dear brothers and sisters all over the world, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition from a series of Canon Islamic Beliefs from IRIB English Radio. As you have been following and listening such shows from IRIB English Radio, in this series of shows, we are trying to talk about the questions and, let's say, the doubts and misconceptions that we are receiving from different questioners all around the world. For that, we have invited Islamic researcher and scholar Sheikh Nur Muhammad from Qom Seminary Schools to this show to help us to answer the questions. Before asking the first question, I'd like to welcome Sheikh to the show and say salam to him. Salam alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Salam alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Many thanks for accepting the invitation. The question of the day that we want to ask it here and actually discuss it with the respected guest, the speaker of the show, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, is about the event of Ghadir. Ghadir is the day that Imam Ali alayhi salam has been appointed by the Holy Prophet in Hajjat al-Wada, and the way back to Medina, in an area called Ghadir, as the first successor of the Holy Prophet and the Imam of the Islamic Ummah right after the Holy Prophet. So the question is that why Imam Ali alayhi salam and Lady Fatima salamullah alayha, in their own life at the time of caliphate of the first and second caliphs, never referred to the event of Ghadir? And also, before that, why they never even talked about this right after the demise of the Holy Prophet, at the time that people were busy in Saqifah Bani Sa'ada to make decision for the successor of the Holy Prophet? This is the core of the question today. I want Sheikh Nur Muhammad to shed some light on that, and actually to answer this question from two phases. One, why didn't they, Imam Ali alayhi salam and Lady Fatima salamullah alayha, react to whatever had happened right after the demise of the Holy Prophet at the time of Saqifa, when some companions of the Holy Prophet went to a place entitled or called as Saqifa Bani Sa'ad and made a decision for the successor of the Holy Prophet and the Caliph after the Prophet? What was the reason that they were silent?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, you know that Imam Ali alayhi salatu wa salam, for numerous times and occasion, on different occasions, starting from the beginning of the caliphate of Abu Bakr, he started, arguing against the caliph system.
Yeah.
And of course, it has been quoted and narrated by the Sunni scholars. They have been mentioned. If you let me introduce you one source for that. You can refer to Al-Qadir and Allama Amini in that book. He introduced more than 100 pages about the argument and Al-Ihtijajat wal-Munashadat of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wa salam, which means the arguments of Imam Ali against the caliphate from the Sunni narrators.
Yeah.
And Imam Ali mentioned that, of course, on numerous times and occasions. Of course, in the beginning of the caliphate system and in the Saqifa, it was a very complicated time and occasion. And, of course, in that time, while Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam and the companions of the Noble Prophet, most of the companions, of course, they joined the army of Osama. And of course, some of the, Ahlul Bayt and the particular companion, they were engaging in the, doing Ghus and the ablution for the Noble Prophet. And of course, the process of the burial possession for the Noble Prophet.
Yes.
In that, difficult time, suddenly the Saqifa happened.
Yeah.
Okay. And of course, from the second caliph, Umar, he mentioned that the كَانَ بِيَعْتُ أَبِي بَكْ فَلْتَهُ وَغَفْلَهُ وَقَلَّهُ شَرَّهَا. It has been mentioned in Sunni sources that the second caliph, Umar, he mentioned that the caliphate of Abu Bakr was suddenly. And may Allah save us against that the problem and the evil of that.
Mm-hmm.
You see that in that harsh time and the difficult time, suddenly they chose one person, an individual, as a successor of the Noble Prophet Muhammad. And of course, by the terror and by the terrorizing people and frightening people, they could conquer the minds of the people. And in a